literally, you whined right when I hit record, Fred. Do you think they heard you? What do you want? We're recording. We do this every week. Why are you wagging your tail at me like I'm saying something that you want? Seriously, dude.
He is literally waiting. Start recording. He is waiting for that one word.
I'm not saying it. You smell like a hamster.
It's bath time.
Not a bad hamster, just a hamster.
There are so many things out there.
So many things.
What are we gonna do about this, Dana?
The only thing we can do, Breezy, start a podcast.
Why are we doing this to ourselves again?
Do we have an intro?
Do you want to keep doing the one that we did last week?
I'm trying to use the dead mouse. Oh. Hold on. I'm plug in the dead mouse. Oh, God, there go the notes. Do you know what's funny? We hit record, and now I have to go to the bathroom.
Mini break.
Welcome, everyone. I'm taking a break already. Bye.
Are you stressed out? Do you have so many things going on that you just can't get your head on straight? Is it snowing outside your window right now, and it's supposed to be springtime? Well, you need So Many Things Podcast.
Did you record a bunch of commercials while I was gone?
I tried. I actually went to pee, too. Thank you. I'm like, well, if she's going to try, I might as well try,
immediately
too.
We start recording, and I have to go to the bathroom. It's just ridiculous.
It's life, you know?
All right. I was looking for the intro. Oh.
Welcome back to So Many Things Podcast, everyone.
No? Oh, we're doing my name? No. If you're new here.
We can do it. Welcome back, everyone, to So Many Things Podcast. My name is Dana.
Do you want to do the names? Now I'm confused.
We don't have to.
Let's not do the names. Let's try it without the names. We haven't done that before. Okay, go ahead.
Welcome back, everyone, to So Many Things Podcast.
If you're new here, or if you've been here and are still totally confused by us, and who could blame you, this podcast is about so many things. That's it.
Sorry.
Why are you laughing at me?
I'm not laughing at you. I had a brain fart and I could not think for a second. This is the greatest podcast intro ever.
Yeah. You can say, instead of Breezy, you can say so far what we do.
What we do here is we morph conversations around the latest TV episodes that we watch each week.
This season, we've moved on to Married at First Sight.
And today we're discussing episode 4. Thank you. I did not write down. Oh, Moving In. Ah! And today we are discussing episode 4, Moving In.
You guys, we're professional podcasters.
Oh, this is the best intro ever.
We're keeping all of this.
You know, we have done our listeners a disservice up until right now. And not because we are professionals at doing an intro, but we promised a Paisley scale and we have yet to use it.
Oh, God. Well, okay, so where is it? I need to see it. Where is it?
Probably somewhere in my server. Is it in graphic
Your server's
art?
Enormous.
I know.
Okay, if everyone hasn't noticed, when we usually record, it's usually after dark, which is when we're both more awake. It is early. It is only noon, everyone. That is when I wake up. I've been awake for 2 hours. It's not good.
Oh my gosh. I love how you're like, yep, it's early. Well, for you and I, it's technically early.
It's morning.
It is morning for us, isn't it?
Good morning. Right. Good morning.
I just want to get out and I want to get back into the server. Okay. Yeah, because seriously, I cannot function.
Yeah, right?
Get the Paisley scale up. Okay.
I'm a 5.
You're a 5 for this episode, number 4?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think I'm a number 1.
Where just like, huh?
Where it's like, how would you, like, it's kind of like you're not impressed.
That's it.
Yeah. It's, yeah. And how, and it's kind of, okay. I think I started out as a number 5. But then I, over the course of like the 2, 3, and 4, I started just molding down to number 1.
Yeah, I'm still a 5. Like, what? Like, y'all stupid? What am I watching?
It's just predictable, right? You're meshing strangers together in a arranged marriage. And
yeah, I literally, you know, the stupid intro and the stupid outro? I'm skipping them. I don't want to know. They keep on making, so every time they're like, next time on, I just, nope.
Yeah. I mean, that's probably smart, because they reveal too much.
The whole thing.
They do. It's terrible. I mean, we didn't get that much with tattoo fixtures. We got some, but they did it well enough to where, like, we had to keep coming back. Whereas here now, we're on episode 4. I know so much more probably about episode 9, 10, and 11 that I'm like,
yeah,
it's super predictable.
It's so predictable. Okay, so you're starting episode 4, moving in.
We're moving in, guys. Some shit's gonna start going down, because now these couples, after day 7, a whole week of being married, after the honeymoons, they are going to move in.
Together.
Oh, dun dun dun. All right, yes. So, honeymoon's over and everybody's got to go home. Doug and Jamie remain the only couple that have not consummated their marriage.
I have that. Still no sex. Still but no sex. But they seem more comfortable together.
They do. They're getting more cuddlier. Jamie's smiling more. It seems to be going well for her. What did I write? Jamie doesn't trust people easily, and Doug is hopeful he's going to be able to tell when Jamie is ready for sex, basically.
Yeah, he doesn't seem extremely pushy. I can't tell if it's an act. I want to believe it's not an act, but I'm also very cynical of men.
Well, I want to believe general. That it's not an act, too.
Yeah, we want to believe. We want to believe. Doug, we want to believe in you. We really do.
So far, he hasn't really showed any negative energy.
We'll get into, I think it's my episode 5, something I'm disappointed in, but generally, everyone has a thing, right? That's like, nobody's perfect, but he seems good enough that there's nothing like we'll get with Tavon. Like, there's a lot of red flags.
Oh.
A lot of red flags. Oh. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, all right, let's move on. Yeah. Moving on. Okay.
Funny thing is, Jamie knows Doug's last name now, but she still can't spell
it. Oh my gosh, that was so funny. She can't spell her own last name. I don't know if she took his last name, but still, it's just like, it's a hard one.
Hayner, yeah.
There's like an extra H in there.
I mean, you can't ask me. I can't enunciate half the time. Don't ask me to spell it.
I swear it was like H-A-H-N-E-R or something weird. I don't know. It doesn't matter, but there's an extra H in there.
Anyway, we cut to Vaughn and Monet. Vaughn asks Monet how she felt about moving to Jersey, since he had just moved there and he's got that big place. Monet, it's a long commute to her work back to Manhattan.
It is, which we wouldn't know.
No, we wouldn't know, but we can understand. We have no idea. Yeah. We can understand. We have the empathy enough to understand.
I have empathy, but also I living in Utah, where everything's along one big highway, I cannot imagine New York. It's unfathomable.
I lived in central New York for a time, nowhere near the city, but I don't like a large volume of people enough where I would probably never even go visit.
I want to go and walk New York. I'm more interested in DC and all their museums, but I would love to walk New York again and then never go back.
Right? Right? It's like, just pick one place.
Yeah.
And that's it. You know?
That's it. Okay, so yeah, there's a clear physical connection between Vaughn and Monet, but we'll get into the rest of it later, because it's...
Oh, it starts to unfold.
Yeah, it's not good.
That's what Lifetime wants!
Oh yeah, they're so excited about that. You know the execs are just like, yes!
there's drama. Okay. Jason and Courtney decide that they're going to do rock, paper, scissors when they get back to find out where they're going to move.
That's how that works.
Yeah, that is how that works.
Okay.
Anyway, then we cut scenes to all three couples leaving their hotel rooms, walking the airport, getting back to the limo to go back home.
Yeah, they're all heading home.
So now we're in living arrangements.
Day 8.
And they're going to each visit each other's apartments or houses or wherever they live so they can kind of get a better view about what's going on.
Right.
So Monet goes over to Vaughn's apartment and Monet mentions the major bachelor pad vibes.
Yeah, she does.
And asked how many women he's bedded in his bed. And
yeah, he just changes the subject.
Of course he does. He doesn't want to admit the real number.
Well, and here's the thing. The whole number thing, right? It's a funny concept because I bet if he asked her and she dodged the question, he would have been mad. But because he dodged the question, it's fine. And I'm just like, and she was more half kidding. Like, you could tell she's just, because it is weird, right? It's kind of like if you, and not, this isn't weird for everyone, but like if you got a hand-me-down bed from your parents, it's kind of weird, right? So like for a new woman coming into a bachelor pad where you have obviously brought a lot of women, it's just weird.
But, and you think about it too, everyone here decided to do this experiment. They knew they were going, there was a possibility of getting married. So even though these six got matched up, think about the 50 or the, you know, the 50 others, give or take, that didn't. You're not going to change everything. You're not going to get a new bed. You're not going to get it. You know what I mean? You're not going to change anything just on the chance of getting married. So
yeah, no.
And it's your past. Everybody has a different past.
That's what some people don't get. And I know Monet keeps on saying she wants a traditional marriage, but it's kind of bull crap.
I think so. She keeps stating she wants a man in like a more traditional role.
It's bull.
I think so. I honestly, she might not even know what she's saying at this point.
I think neither of them know what they want.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Monet does ask about his father's pictures on the dresser. And so that's how she finds out that his father was military and he's no longer with them. And same, you know, kind of vice versa. Monet's father was also military. And so they realize they both have that kind of connection.
It doesn't help.
No. But if she moved to Jersey, she has an hour and a half commute. And Vaughn is convinced that people do that commute every day.
Okay, Vaughn, honey, sweetie, baby. I had the opportunity to move in with my boyfriend to save money, and it would have been an hour and a half commute each way. That is 3 hours a day.
Think about how many, so many things, podcast episodes you can listen to in that time.
Y'all, we can record 2 episodes in 3 hours. So think about all the recording time lost. Penises you wouldn't hear about.
You know, and all the fanny packs you missed out on.
Yeah, the fanny packs. Oh, the fanny packs.
Oh, the fanny packs.
Jamie's guarding her fanny pack pretty hard.
Wouldn't you, though?
I respect her the most for it because I think people think, oh, we're married, we have to do it. Although Courtney waited a minute as well, Courtney and Jason.
They waited until day 5.
Yeah, I understand they're married and everything, but you also just met this person. There really is no rush if you're going to be with them for the rest of your life. I think she's playing it smart.
I think so, too.
Guarding her fanny pack. Like, if she's still around, we should send her a fanny pack shirt.
Like, I know you asked, like, 2 episodes ago if we were super harsh on Jamie. It's not that we were super harsh. We just saw, at least for me, I probably saw how I would react in that situation. Not knowing who you're going to marry, seeing them for the first time. I mean, granted, yeah, she wasn't attracted to him to begin with, but then that starts to grow, right? Right. So,
yeah.
It's getting better for her.
I feel like also we saw what the show wanted us to see, and they made her out to look really bad.
And I think that that Lifetime did that on purpose.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But speaking of Jamie and Doug.
Yes.
Doug comes over to Jamie's apartment, and he meets her dog, Lady.
Her little doggy is so cute. It's got these long legs, and it looks like a chihuahua, but it's, like, bigger, but it's, like, black, and it's, like, it's just so cute.
It looks so like, dog. It to me, she looks almost like a pitty mixed with maybe, like, a chihuahua. Because it's so tiny.
I wonder
tiny.
If it's a min pin.
It could be a min pin. But she's got a bigger head. Like a pit bull.
That's true. Yeah. A very cute dog. Very gangly cute dog.
And her name is Lady. It just reminds me of the Disney movie.
Don't forget you.
So anyway, like we were saying, Jamie's starting to really like Doug now. And Doug still gets butterflies for Jamie. Doug likes her place, but he would really love to start in a new place because it's a new journey, a new venture. They can build it together.
Yeah.
Jamie does mention that she worked really hard for her place, but they can move into a new apartment, but she might just keep her apartment just in case.
I think it's smart because Vaughn does this too, and we'll get to that, but it's just like, it is too soon. I mean, after the 5 weeks, they're going to decide anyway. I would at least not get rid of anything until after the 5 weeks.
I would do the same thing. And Doug works in Jersey, so he's going to have to commute to Jersey anyway.
Yeah, and I think it's not as far. We'll get into, like, each of their needs when they get into the apartment. But, again, it's all really hard for me to understand where things are in New York because they didn't seem really upset about the commute.
No, it might not be as far as what Monet has to drive.
Yeah, I think that's it. Okay.
Jason and Courtney. So Courtney's going to go over to Jason's apartment first. Courtney doesn't want Jason to be too far from his mom because of the fact that he has to take care of her. But the current place is way too small. I mean, we saw it in the beginning. It is tiny.
Itty bitty.
He mentions that his work commute right now is about 45 minutes and he lives in Brooklyn. He's a Brooklyn boy through and through, lived there all of his life. I think she asks him to take her around the neighborhood. Yes. And
she does.
Sorry, I just hit my microphone.
We're professionals. It's fine.
Absolutely.
So he takes her on a tour of Brooklyn. And this is when the announcer comes in and says 65% of couples live together before getting married.
And that the divorce rate for those couples are higher than those who move in after marriage.
Confusing.
Very.
I'm calling a little bit of BS. I didn't do my own research, but I would assume, which I don't like assuming, but what my brain says logically is if you live together before you get married, isn't it more likely you would break up before you get married?
I would assume that too. I mean, just putting myself in that kind of situation.
Yeah.
That way, because you're building on something before the marriage aspect of it. So most of the pressure would be off, but if something wasn't working out because you guys were living together to begin with, then the risk of getting married kind of is null and void.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Mm-mm. No. I am a fan. I'll be honest. So in my past relationships, everything has been super quick. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know what it is about the men in my past before my current relationship, but it was like they wanted to lock it down quick. They wanted to get married. They wanted to get engaged. They wanted to move in. They wanted to do all this stuff. There is something to be said about taking it slow, but it's really hard to take it slow.
Oh, gosh, and especially in today's day and age.
It's so hard. It's so freaking hard. And so I think this statistic might be a little old. Because what was this show again? 2017?
2014.
14. I mean, that's almost 10 years.
Almost, yeah. And
we're in 2023 right now.
And so I believe they filmed this in 2013. They released it in 2014. So again,
yeah, we're in a whole different world now.
Yeah. A whole decade has passed since this series actually began. And
yeah,
everything's way, way different.
It's all over the place. Okay. So Jamie goes to meet Doug's family, I believe, at this point.
Yes. So Jamie goes over to Doug's house and she's seeing the family for dinner. She brought chocolates, gave them to the mom, and the dad comes in jokingly and says, I'm a diabetic.
And I know, that was really funny.
Doug cuts in, well, Jamie's a nurse.
That was pretty fun. It was kind of awkward, but awkward funny.
Doug was trying to
lighten. They're all trying.
Yes, the men of the family were trying to lighten the mood. And
because
Jamie,
mom's a little awkward about it.
No, she's a bit skeptical. Mom is skeptical.
She's a bench, everyone. I don't like Doug's mom right now.
Well, okay. I'm sorry. You see your baby boy get married, and his potential bride-to-be is very cold feet-ish. That's not even a word. I'm sorry. I'm making up words on this podcast now.
Cold feet-ish on a t-shirt.
You know what I mean? And Jamie notices that Doug's mom is very skeptical. She's not warming up to Jamie just yet because Jamie showed a lot of tension during the wedding, which is natural and normal because of the situation at hand.
I understand where the mom is coming from, but also your son got married at first sight, honey.
I want to say, isn't Doug the youngest
boy? I believe he might be.
He might be the youngest boy, so mom is very protective over this boy.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. There's no way to really know. They haven't really gotten there, but we're pretty sure.
Because we know he's got a brother at this point in episode 4.
And a sister. Oh, and that's in episode 5.
Right.
But we know he has a brother and sister, but that's all I really know
and
right now.
His brother looks older than him.
So does a sister. Or at least around the age.
Around, maybe. Anyway, maybe I'm assuming Doug is the youngest boy.
We're going to assume it.
We're going to assume that. Because there's no way to know.
No way to know. No way to know.
You know what, though? I did not agree with Jamie when she admitted that when she first saw Doug, she thought he was a monster. But then pivoted to say that she would have thought that about anybody who was up there. Which...
It was, she was nervous.
Very. But that was the wrong thing to say.
Wrong thing to say, Jamie. It was bad. Yeah, literally said she wants to make a good impression. It was just the wrong thing to say, Jamie. A lot of nervous energy, and I think she meant to say, like, not that he was a monster, but more like in her mind, like anyone on that aisle would have been scary. You know,
I would say so, but I also think that if the guy was more physically attracted, she'd be more excited. So it
woman's dumb.
It's a double-edged sword.
She saw him in that tux that was not flattering. Then you get him on the beach and you're like, holy mama.
Yeah. Yeah. No, no, no. Ooh. She changed her mind the moment she saw him with his shirt off.
did not know that was under that tux. Holy Hannah. You know, I didn't expect, like, bad physique, but I wasn't expecting, like, full-on muscle physique. I just thought he was going to have, like, a cute dad bod.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really okay with that because he's a cute guy. And then the V abs thing, and I'm just like, I was not prepared.
Well, he does a lot of sports, too. We find out later that baseball's pretty big.
In the family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Doug is super ready to move out.
Well, yeah, he still lives with his parents. Well, he had to come back to live with his parents. But he goes in, they go into his room to have a little private time, and they talk about how Doug bought a house in his 20s before he got laid off, and he ended up losing about $14,000 on it. And he's worried that him living at home is overwhelming for Jamie, and Jamie admits that it is a hard pill to swallow.
And I think this is a different culture because right now in 2023, I don't know when people listen to this, but right now in 2023, it is unfortunately a huge thing. I'm going to have to move home here soon.
Yeah.
Because it is so bad out here right now. My rent is $960. I'm living in a crap hole that is falling apart around me. There is like no dishwasher, no washer dryer. It is old as hell, and I mean it's a great place, but it's just $960 for this does not make sense. So I felt like she was making a bigger deal of him living at home than she should, but I keep forgetting 2013 was a totally different economy.
That's very true.
In 2013, I think I was paying like $600 for a 2-bedroom apartment with a sunken tub, a dishwasher. It didn't have a washer dryer, but it had a free laundromat. Mm-hmm. Like, it was so different back then.
It was. I think you were also living in a different state at that point, though.
Yes, I was, but the rent here was still not bad.
Right. It's amazing the difference a decade will make.
Yeah.
On culture and economy. Oh, my God.
Can I go back and freeze those prices, please?
I mean, come on, guys. Let's do that.
If I could pay $600 for the place I'm living in now, I would have no problem.
Or at least give us a living wage that we can actually work off of.
Well, you know, and this is way off topic, but I keep reading articles that even people who are making, like, the goal, right? $100,000 a year. Yeah?
Mm.
That is barely enough to get into high middle class. Like, you're not even in high middle class at $100,000 anymore.
No.
And for me, making $100,000, in my brain, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's like high society right there.
Well, yeah, but because it's you've not. Never, yeah, you haven't been around it. And no. That, shoot, if I made $100,000, you bet your ass I put a lot of that into this podcast.
Right? We would be investing.
We would. We'd invest in ourselves.
Yeah, but it's just the economy is so weird right now. Apparently, all these articles say that it's not even a living wage. Now, here's the thing. I think they're also, like, factoring in, like, having a huge car payment and a huge house payment. And if you're smart about it, like, you only have one of those or two of those, as where most people, like, get the Tesla with the $2 million car payment a month out here. There's so many Teslas out here. It's horrible. I hate them.
I mean, just wait till those batteries explode. You'll be wishing you got a freaking regular car.
Do they explode?
Yes.
I didn't know this.
The batteries, the ions in the batteries, they tend to overheat and they'll end up catching fire. Like, my boss is actually worried about it because we keep getting people who have Teslas and we have nothing to help with.
Oh.
If it explodes in the garage, fire department all the way, we got nothing to combat that shit.
Y'all need a big old tub of baking soda. Big old thing. Just throw it at the Tesla. Yes. Way off topic.
Yeah, off topic. Anyway.
Enough dumping on Tesla.
Hey, sometimes it is deserved.
Oh, no, it's very deserved. I'm with you all the way. I hate them. But we don't have the time.
We don't have the time. Right now, Vaughn is going over to Monet's place.
Oh, in Harlem. Here we go.
In Harlem, New York. Vaughn is very impressed that it's neat and organized. I bet she cleaned before he came over.
Oh, God, yes. I call it a tornado clean.
Yes, absolutely.
When someone's coming over, you're doing a tornado clean. She's got a Yorkie.
She's got a little Yorkie named PJ.
Oh, PJ.
He is adorable. Mm-hmm. He commented on her shoes, and that is a very feminine place. He didn't know what he expected.
Well, she is in fashion.
At this point, I don't think he can articulate his feelings because he's literally flatlined.
All the time.
All the time he's flatlined.
Except, and we'll get to it, except when it comes to a head. It's weird. Like, he's flatlined until he feels like she's not paying enough attention to him.
We will get to it.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, so, but I was mad about him talking about the shoes and everything because she's literally in fashion.
Yeah. And she likes shoes.
Oh, my God. Shoes.
Who gives a crap?
And most women do. I literally, so I was looking. I have about 6 pairs of shoes. And I thought that was a lot because I have this thing about wedge sandals. So I have, like, 3. But then I have tennis shoes and, like, boots and stuff. But, like, literally 6 pairs of shoes I thought was a lot. But the average woman, I think, has about 20-ish, 15-ish pair.
Comment down below, guys, if you're a woman with a bunch of pairs of shoes, I want to know how much is in your closet.
Yeah, I need the statistics here. So, literally, every woman you know, even if you're a man, I want to know what woman in your life has shoes and how many shoes. I hope she has shoes, actually. She should at least has one pair of shoes.
At least one, right? I grew up, my mother. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Mom.
My mother pretty much at least have one good pair of heels, okay, one good pair of boots,
okay,
and at least two good pairs of tennis shoes,
mm-hmm,
and maybe a sandal. So we're talking about five pairs of shoes.
See, you, I have six.
Yeah, you never know what you need to do, right? You never know what you're going to have to go do. And a good trusty pair of heels on that last, you know, minute event that you got to go to, at least you don't have to go out and find something. You already have it.
Yep.
Now, that being said, my mom also has like 60 pairs of shoes.
See, here's the thing. It's just a thing. And men now. I mean, it's happening a lot more with men, especially with the collector Nikes.
Oh, yes. Sneaker collectors are huge. Yep. You know?
It's starting to level out a bit more, and I just found him a bit judgmental of her shoe collection when she's in fashion. Just seems, especially when he wants a feminine wife, a wifey wife, as he calls it.
Yeah.
That's literally a stereotypical wifey wife. They have the shoes.
Yeah, they do. You know?
It's stereotype, but you wanted a stereotype. There it is.
He's still, like I said, he's flatlined. His emotions are flatlined. We'll get to it.
We will.
So we find out Monet doesn't drive. So if she moved to New Jersey, he said he'd have to buy her a car, and that wasn't going to happen. So Vaughn, I have V in my notes. I'm sorry. I've abbreviated everyone's names. Vaughn actually agreed to move to Harlem.
Okay.
So they're going to try this out. Monet does say that she hopes Vaughn doesn't resent her since he had to sacrifice things.
And why is that? I feel like that's so sad that she's concerned about that, but we'll get there.
There's a lot of insecurities with this couple.
There's
for sure.
So much, guys. It gets worse and worse and worse.
Jason and Courtney. So Jason goes over to Courtney's apartment this time. There's no real privacy. Remember, she lives in the living room and she has a roommate.
I just felt like this was a waste of time.
Oh,
there's no way they're moving in there, guys. No. She lives in a living room. There's no space. Like, why did they even do this?
But see, we knew that they didn't, remember?
Yeah.
That's why this episode had to happen. So then both saw each other's places and how they lived to decide what was going to happen.
Well, it's not happening.
It's not happening with Jason and Courtney. Courtney does show off her little burlesque costumes and tells Jason that, you know, she goes up on stage, but she doesn't take off anything that makes her feel embarrassed, like if her dad was in the audience.
Yeah, it's just a tease burlesque. It doesn't seem to be like a full...
No.
Crazy near stripper burlesque, just right, like a tease one.
Right. It's no Suicide Girls here. That's a burlesque show that travels. They're called Suicide Girls. I actually saw them in live once. They go full topless and they dance in their underwear on stage.
I live in Utah. Literally, I think they make the strippers here wear pasties.
Oh, yeah. No, they make them wear pasties here, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Welcome to Red States, where apparently nipples are bad.
They're natural, guys. It's not that big of a deal.
They're only natural nipples on men.
You can see nipples on the internet.
Nope.
You gonna censor the internet now?
Only male nipples are acceptable.
They're the same thing. They're the same thing.
I find it so weird that male nipples are okay, but women's, it's the weirdest thing to me. Anyway, we don't have the time because now Courtney and Jason have decided they're going to try to find an apartment between Brooklyn and Manhattan.
Yes, that's what they're going to do. So now we're on to their finances. We're going to talk about... Oh my gosh. Oh,
this made me so uncomfortable.
I mean, okay, but you have to have this kind of conversation with anybody you're having a relationship with. It is important. A lot of couples just dissipate because of this situation.
I think it made me uncomfortable because my financial situation is so crappy right now. I'm just like, oh, God. It's okay. All right. We're not talking about me. We're talking about Vaughn.
We're talking about Vaughn and Monet. They both can provide for themselves well enough.
Yes.
Vaughn suggests going 50-50 on bills. This I agree with.
Oh, God, yeah.
Especially when you're just starting out, make it fair. He said that he wants to take over the date night purchases because that makes, you know, he's the man. He's the traditional. Yeah. Great. Monet's on board with this. She's okay with 50-50. She's okay with letting him take over the date nights.
I don't know if this is a mental block for me, but it's hard for me to do that. Maybe it's just I haven't had someone to do that in my life. I'm sure, like, my current boyfriend would, but it's just, it makes me so uncomfortable. I don't know why.
If it makes you uncomfortable, it makes you uncomfortable.
I just, I don't know why. Literally, if he pays for something, I feel like I need to grab the next one or pay him back, or, like, I feel like a horrible person.
Don't feel like a horrible person.
I know, and it's nothing he does, it's just in my own brain. It's so weird.
It's because you strive for independence, and you don't want to be dependent upon anybody. And that
I know, but it's happening.
Your boyfriend. But anyway, you should let him if he wants to. Mm. Anyway.
This is not Dana, about me.
Thank you for coming to my Dana talk.
Yes. Thank you. Because, once again, I have made this podcast about me, but it's not about me. It is about Jamie.
And Doug. So Jamie reiterates that she fought very hard to get out of poverty. And yes, she doesn't want to be with somebody who's in a lot of debt. No yes. Schmucks for Jamie.
Oh my goodness, schmuck.
She said schmuck.
She did. She doesn't want to marry a schmuck.
She reiterates that like twice.
She's worried about being poor is the thing. Like I can understand if you came out of being poor, being worried about being poor again. But I'm sorry, what about Doug makes you think he poor? Is it because he lives in his parents' house?
I think that's part of the weight of it. However, Doug doesn't want to be poor either.
Well, who wants to be poor? Maisie, do you want to be poor? She says no.
Apparently, I mean, I guess this is good to know, that a registered nurse in New York makes more than an IT software salesman.
Because it's harder to get a registered nurse in New York.
Probably.
RNs can make a lot of money. Now, labor and delivery here in Utah is one of the most sought after ones.
Probably.
I'm wondering if other states it is not so.
Couldn't tell you. I stopped being a CNA about 15 years ago, so.
Yeah, me too. It wasn't for me. Wasn't for me.
I didn't mind it. It was just a lot of back labor and I broke my back. So, you know, I had to quit.
Yeah. No. But yeah, she makes a lot of money. She makes more money than him. It doesn't sit great with him, but he is just at the beginning of his career.
Right.
So
it makes him want to work harder to help provide.
I think it's perfectly acceptable. Like, I feel, and I think this is a lot of editing and mumbo jumbo, because he just started a new job. Getting laid off happens, right? And they're making Jamie out to be this person who's, like, unaccepting of that. And I feel like it's a lot in the editing because you can't help that. And he has literally got back up on his feet. And I think that's a better characteristic than being super rich.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
You know?
He's more admirable.
Yes.
Yes. Going on to Jason and Courtney. Courtney admits she's not great with money. She owes student loans. She owes her parents. She doesn't have a savings account.
Huge student loans.
Huge student. Well, New York student loans. So,
yeah.
Jason's a big budgeter. He does have a bit of a nest egg. He said nest egg.
Yes, that's the word.
Dyslexic.
That's all right.
He is concerned about Courtney's outlook on her finances. So they go apartment searching. The first place had a storefront and it was kind of like a loft. It was a bust because there was no door in the bedroom.
Oh, I loved it.
It looked nice. Even though, okay. It was what?
Are you about to say, so like if you have the main floor, it's all one room, but like the bed is like above the kitchen. You take stairs around and it's just like a loft bedroom above the kitchen area, and I thought it was the cutest thing I'd ever seen
for New York. Yeah, I think it, because I mean New York apartments are tiny.
Yeah,
I thought it was okay. I didn't like how the bed sunk into the frame of the wall.
That was a little weird. That it was kinda, like it was surrounded by a little wall.
Yeah, it made my claustrophobia kind of trigger a little bit.
I get it. I know? Get it.
Because I don't think that was a king size either. I think that was at least a queen.
Probably no more than a queen. Yeah, there's no way you could fit anything else in there.
And it was literally mattress and then like maybe an inch where
there
walls
was no fitting anything else up there.
Not at all.
Yeah.
The second apartment, we find out it's about $3,000. It's cute and could work, but there was a door on the bedroom and chalkboard paint in the bathroom was a plus for Courtney. She marveled over the chalkboard.
Like, what? Huh?
Chalkboard paint?
Okay.
Yeah.
In a bathroom.
I know. I don't know.
Okay.
Must have been something the previous tenants left. But the third place was the hit home run. Mm. It was about $2,400 a month, one bedroom. They both love it. Just like their marriage, love at first sight.
this whole thing just made me want to go apartment hunting. I have no money. I have no budget, but I want to go apartment hunting.
What you found, what you showed me the last time was actually kind of cute.
Oh my gosh, you guys.
I think it's real tiny, though. But that's just me.
I found, it was itty bitty. I found a studio apartment. The cutest studio apartment ever. It had a washer dryer. It had a dishwasher. It was itty bitty. I was going to get rid of all my stuff. And it was $950 a month. It's literally what I'm paying here, but 400 square feet less than I have here. It is the tiniest apartment. I loved it. And if it was, again, if it was even $600, I would have taken it. It's just $900 for a studio. It's hard.
Yeah. I would say if that was $600 a month, I think you'd snatch that up in a minute.
I'd take it.
Yeah.
But not reality. They love this apartment and they're going to take it.
They're going to take it. It's theirs. Doug and Jamie also go apartment hunting. The first one was a bust. The second one was a bust. And Doug had mentioned it's probably going to take Lady using the bathroom in the actual apartment.
That was so funny.
For it to be a sign that it was real. And that happened in the third place that they were at. They both started to really like it. And then all of a sudden, Lady poops in the living room.
Poops.
That was it.
Now, yeah, they decided on that one. And he went and cleaned it up with no hesitation.
You noticed that too?
I was shocked.
Dude.
Like, literally, I did not expect that because it's her dog. You know, it's not like I thought that, oh, she should clean it because it's her dog. It was just like, oh, she's going to clean it. Nope. He went right to it and cleaned it.
He's a gentleman.
Nuts. He's very gentleman. Also, they did mention Jamie works 12 to 13 hours. So she just wants a fast commute close to like transportation.
Yeah, that makes sense. And he needs to be able to get to Jersey.
Yeah, but he has a car, it looks like.
I would assume so, yeah.
It didn't look like she did.
I think she takes trains and buses and stuff.
So that was really important. Yeah. But yeah, dog pooped and it's fate.
It's fate.
Okay.
All right. Now we're moving in. This is what you've all been waiting for. Now we're finally moving in. Jason is concerned that Courtney is very messy and he doesn't want to be cleaning up after her all the time.
Yeah, she's not. Here's the thing. She's not dirty. There's a difference between being dirty and being messy.
Mm-hmm.
Messy is more clutter based, I think.
Yeah. And dirty, obviously. Like, you haven't cleaned your bathroom floors in 6 months.
All right, let's not call me out on the podcast, man. It's only been three.
I almost raised my hands because I'm like, I'm at that point where it's like, I'm after this podcast recording, I'm going to clean my bathrooms. Like, that was a thing. We're in spring cleaning mode.
I love cleaning my bathroom. It's just right now I am working 12-hour days and going to school. Literally, the podcast and seeing my boyfriend are the two things in my life that are keeping me sane. And so every once in a while, I'll have a Sunday to myself and literally Tornado Clean is activated, scrubbing everything. I'm exhausted by the end and I'm like, oh, I'll play a video game or something. Nope, I fall asleep.
No.
I fall right asleep. It's the funniest thing. Anyway, so she says she isn't ladylike. Courtney, Miss Courtney?
Yeah. That's what she's concerned about because she tells fart jokes and she's pretty messy, you know, all that kind of stuff. So she's concerned that Jason's going to see this side of her and what is he going to think?
We don't know.
I mean, a little bit of potty humor, that's fine. I'd imagine any kind of guy out there would be okay with that.
Yeah, like, you and I have expressed we're not exactly toilet humor kind of people. But, I mean, a fart joke every once in a while or something like that. Like, we're not opposed to it.
Right.
I mean, we made a whole freaking thing on fanny packs and cactus penises, for goodness sake. So having a little bit of humor, I think it's weird that she's worried about the ladylike thing. I don't know, maybe it's because he's just pointing to her cactus penis.
No, I was rubbing it.
Oh, you were rubbing the cactus.
I was rubbing it.
Did it get bigger?
It did, literally.
You guys, you can't see out here in podcast land, but Dana and I had talked about, Dana has taken most of the brunt of this because I'm so crazy busy. I will get there one day.
You'll get there.
I'll be totally committed. But she got us hats with the cactus penis. And it was, what do you call that when it's put on like that?
Like an iron-on decal.
Yeah, so it was iron-on decal and it was little. And we loved it. But we were wondering what it would be if we could embroider it. So she got it embroidered, and the cactus is like 5 times bigger.
It is. It's amazingly, stupidly big. Oh my god.
It's huge.
Do I have it? It's got to be around here somewhere. Nope, that's not it.
She literally has a collection of beanies in a basket, everyone. She's going through a basket of beanies.
Of hats. Hey, this is what happens when you're kind of a video game streamer. And your head gets hurt by your hat or by your headset all the time.
Oh, mine's cushy.
Oh, see, mine's not. And so it hits like the soft spot of your scalp.
I wondered. That is so funny. Because the funniest thing, you never, I won't say never, but when we first became friends, you didn't wear hats this much. And so whenever I saw you on stream and we talk like this, you're wearing hats. And I'm like, okay, well, this must just be a new thing she does. She must just wear hats. You're wearing them because your head hurts?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
This makes so much more sense now.
Yeah. You probably won't see me on the internet without a hat.
I just thought you had developed differently as a friend in the time we were apart. And so I was like, oh, that's cool.
I mean, we both did.
Well, we all changed. But I'm thinking this is like a new personality trait. No. Her head hurts.
Yep. This is just functional. That's all this is.
I'm so happy. Oh my gosh, that makes me laugh so hard. Oh my gosh. Well, she couldn't find the hat, but we'll post a picture.
Yeah, we'll post a picture of the differences between both hats. But I think we'd go the embroidered route because...
Oh God, yes.
It looks better. It's really huge. Good. Now I just have a big cactus penis on my forehead and I love it.
I literally just... I can't wear it to work because I work in an area I can't wear hats. But literally, I want to wear it everywhere. I have a feeling I'd get kicked out of Disney. But we can try.
Anyway, off topic.
All the couples are talking about their personal space and their habits and how they're worried about someone else with those.
So during the move-in, Jason gets flustered because there are a lot of hangers in a box.
Oh my God.
And they literally...
This was such a man thing to do. I was dying. Oh
my God. Okay, so moving... anywhere.
Horrible.
Everybody's tensions are up. Okay. Things just need to get done. All you want to do is stop, sit on the couch, open a beer, and relax.
Yeah.
So Courtney found it kind of funny that he got a little flustered over them.
Literally, the guys, hangers. He has. So the hangers, I want you to think not just like, so when I pick up hangers, you put them, you grab all the hooks, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you put them in the same.
Right.
What do you call it? Direction. Right. No. This was like a ball of hangers. All different directions, all different sizes, all different types. And so he's like, he says something like, you have enough hangers or something? And then he literally just throws them on the floor and gives up.
Yeah. Well, she had them in a box and they weren't all lined up or anything. It literally,
it was a mess.
It was a huge mess. Well, we know Courtney's a little messy. And that's okay.
A little messy.
I mean... Do you organize your stuff in boxes when you move?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
So here's the thing. I am kind of cluttery and messy in my real life, not when moving.
Oh, see.
I've moved too many times for this.
I Yeah, I just throw things in boxes and move them because then I'm like, oh, I'll organize them when I get to my new place. And then it'll stay organized for like 2 months. And then after that, hell breaks loose. Yeah.
I'm a labeler.
I'm a labeler when it comes to collections.
Nope, I label my boxes.
Oh, I'm starting to do that for like storage purposes.
Oh, yeah, it's a great. It's so great.
Because like then I could just read what I wrote about what's in the box instead of having to open every box up to find what I'm looking for.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
I'm getting rid of like 90% of my stuff and it feels really good because then when I move, I'll only have like maybe 10 boxes of stuff and I'm just going to bullet point. I'm just going to bullet point everything that's in that box kind of thing.
There you go.
But this isn't about us.
No.
Or is it?
Because Jamie is concerned about annoying habits. About annoying Doug because we're moving in together.
Well, and the experts talk about how there's no escape now.
Exactly, they do. Because once you start living with people, I stamped last night.
What in the world, you guys? She's holding her notes up, and literally on the back is this black, like, devil smudge. Like, I'm just like, is there a demon on your paper?
No.
What's happening here?
I literally stamped last night.
Oh, yeah, I didn't get to see it. I saw the comments. Someone said something about a Soot Sprite. I love that you've gotten the press on so that you can practice more and don't have to, like, mess up your manicure all the time.
It's not working, is it? I put it in my Discord. They're roses.
I'll look at it in the Discord.
They're roses, and it's a dark. It's this color that I'm wearing now.
I do like that color.
It's called Heart of the Ocean.
Oh, I see them. Oh, okay. So here's why I can't see them, people.
It's dark.
So it's dark blue nails, and then it's kind of like think of like a lace rose design kind of looking thing,
yeah.
And then there's like pops of pink roses. I really like it. It's very pretty.
They're just on shorties, so you don't like those.
I would live with shorties, but we all know I like fangs. All
right. Well, in the meantime, Monet and Vaughn get into a very heated argument the first night he stays over.
They're sitting so far apart from each other.
On the same couch, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, she's kind of on the side with her MacBook, and she's looking at Facebook.
Yeah.
Because apparently there's something about couples and moving in and, you know.
Oh, yeah. Some article she read. Yeah.
On Facebook.
Facebook article. We all know how those are.
Eh. Remember in episode 2 how he complained that she was really quiet? There wasn't much conversation going on. You know, she was. And now she's trying to talk to him and be attentive, and now he's complaining it's too much.
Yeah, literally, episode 2, he was like, you're not paying enough attention to me, you're not talking, and now that she's talking and trying to include him in her brunch plans on Sundays, it's too much.
Because apparently on Sundays, he likes quiet, he likes not talking, it's a rest and relax day, and I think for a lot of people, that's what Sundays are.
Okay, I understand this, but when you're in a brand new relationship, you can go to a few brunches. She's not saying he has to go to every brunch.
Right.
She just wants him to go to, like, one and meet her friends. And then you'll have, if you're married, especially if you're married, you have your whole lifetime, right? So go to a few stupid brunches and then let her go on her own most of the time.
Right. And I think it's too soon for Vaughn to go and meet friends. It's what, day 10 of the marriage at this point?
Okay,
she's
I did kind of get that.
Yeah, and she's already trying to drag him over to her friend's stuff. So he just needs a little bit of space from that. Maybe in a couple months he'll start going, you know? But she's kind of dead set on what she's doing now is too much, but she, you know, if she doesn't talk to him, she gets.
Yeah, it's very confusing for her because she was trying to reach out and be attentive and involve him in her life. And then all of a sudden it's too much and she's just so confused. And he seems a bit all over the place of like, I want this, but no, now I don't. And it's just, they're fighting. They're fighting.
He mentions that he felt like it was an interrogation. Like, she's not just talking to him. She's interrogating him.
And I feel that's a problem for him internally. Like, there is interrogating, but I don't feel like she was interrogating. I felt like she was just genuinely confused and trying to figure out what the hell was going on.
Oh, yeah. Most likely.
But he has this perception of it's an interrogation.
Because he's negative. He's always in a negative mindset.
He's very negative.
Which she mentions multiple times.
It's not going well, everyone. It's not going well.
It's not. I think that's where we ended it. We ended that episode, episode 4, with Monet and Vaughn fighting.
And that's it.
And that's it. We get cutscenes of the next episode, but we're not going to go into that.
Yeah, I skipped it. I wasn't even going to look. Mm-mm. Yeah, so literally, guys, it's getting pretty crazy. The next episode is called Everyday Life. So stay tuned for that one. We're kind of invested in the show. It's a love-hate relationship with the show.
It kind of is. I don't think we didn't, well, because you never seen this, I never seen this. So we obviously didn't necessarily know how we'd feel about it.
Yeah. We had no idea how to feel.
I'm kind of flatlined. It's predictable, but I'll watch the rest of the season and make the series with you.
Well, because we're shipping. I think the only real suspense and anything we want to know anymore, like Vaughn and Monet, we don't care anymore. Courtney and Jason, Doug and Jamie.
I think that's where we're at. Yeah.
That's where we're at. We want to see what happens with Doug and Jamie, and that's why we're going to keep going.
Exactly. Because we kind of know the end all be all with the other two couples.
Yeah. I mean,
Just based on instinct.
I just don't see them working out. If there's any hope, I think it's for Doug and Jamie, and that's where I hope. I mean, we don't know, but we'll find out.
That's it for this episode, guys. Stay tuned next week, because we're all going to look into everyday life with these couples.
Mediocre modern living. Here we come.
Mm-hmm.
We would like to take this opportunity to thank Hulu, the cast of Married at First Sight, and of course you for listening to us drone on about things that have nothing to do with Married at First Sight.
Exactly. There are so many things you can do to support us. We have Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and YouTube, where you get to see all kinds of little snippets from the podcast.
And if you have time, please head over to Apple Podcasts, leave us a rating or review. Remember, any 5-star rating will be read on the podcast in a special listeners episode.
In any case, we appreciate you being here, listening to our tangents, and being a part of so many things.
Until next time, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of So Many Things. You can find us on all the socials at So Many Things Pod or So Many Things Podcast. You know what to do. See you later.
We waved again.
We're going to make a compilation of us waving like idiots for podcast land.